Today's scripture reading is taken from two passages. The first passage, Mark chapter 13, verse 32 to 37. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. The second passage is from the book of Revelation, chapter 11, verse 15 to 18. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is and who was, for you have taken your great power and begun to reign. The nations raged, but your wrath came, and the time for the dead to be judged, and for rewarding your servants, the prophets and saints, and those who fear your name, both small and great, and for destroying the destroyers of the earth. This is the word of God.
Thank you, Brother William, for reading the text for us today. Good morning, brothers and sisters, friends. My name is Serene. I am one of the pastors in Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church. Let us come before God and pray for His Holy Spirit to guide us today. Dear God, we praise you, for you are our King who will come again. Lord Jesus, I pray that your presence fills us today in this congregation. Guide us with the Holy Spirit. Encourage us, awake us too. Speak to us so that we can hear your voice and respond to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are new to our service today, we are doing a series of sermons on the Apostles' Creed. It is a summary of what Christians believe, and today we'll talk about this topic on Jesus shall come again to judge the living and the dead. In 2013 to 2014, my family spent a whole year in the United States as my husband, Srimal, took a break, a sabbatical, and took a course there in the United States. It was a very wonderful time for us together to experience the different culture, different people groups, fantastic nature and the beautiful four seasons in the other part of the world. As I reflected on this delightful experience that I had, I discovered a biblical truth that since the beginning of our stay in the hostel of the seminary, we knew that we would only be there for 1 year. We were foreigners and aliens in the country. It was not our home. That also set the tone of how we lived. In our apartment, our furniture, our mattresses, kitchenwares, and utensils all were pre-loved, used. We would also frequently check out the campus sharing hut for things that we need. This sharing hut is called give and take, where everyone's leaves anything that have been used or pre-loved there for others to collect without any charges. So literally, you go there, you give, or you take. Anything ranging from small furniture, clothes, kitchenwares, to books, toys, jewelry, so on and so forth. We were very conscious of how we live, and that is not our home there. We will eventually leave the place when the 1 year is up. Therefore, we live quite a simple life and make it a point that we wouldn't buy things that we don't need or things that we couldn't bring home. What I was saying is, what we think about the future will deeply impact the ways we live in the present. I repeat, what we think about the future will deeply impact the ways we live in the present. If we believe that Jesus is coming back again, and he will come and judge the living and the dead, then we will live our lives to prepare for it. Today is the first day of Advent. It is a season observed in most Christians' denomination as a time of waiting and preparation for both the celebration of Jesus' birth at Christmas and the second coming of Christ. If this is the first time that you've heard of Jesus' second coming, maybe we should ask ourselves one question. How do we know that Jesus is coming back? If I use the Gen Z's language, it will sound like this. Legit? Jesus will come back? Yes, legit. We know that Jesus will come back because it is a promise in the Bible. There are many prophecies in the Old Testament which pointed to the second coming of Jesus. Sometimes it is not obvious to us as we read it. For example, in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 45, "But King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever." Here, King David's throne did not continue in history, but it was supposed to refer to Jesus, David's offspring, that one day Jesus' throne will establish forever. Another part in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 31 and 33, when King David wrote his song to praise God, he had already prophesied that God would judge the earth one day. And it says, "Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth." Psalm 146, verse 10, the psalmist proclaimed that the Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. How about the New Testament? Among the 27 books in the New Testament, 23 of them recorded the second coming of Jesus. If this is not enough, we look at what Jesus told his disciples. In many instances, Jesus told his disciples things related to his second coming. Here are just a few verses to show you. Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. "For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds." Mark chapter 13, verses 32 to 37. "But Concerning the day that or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. And John chapter 14, verse 3, Jesus said, If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. If we believe who Jesus is and his resurrection from the dead, then it is only logical to believe his own words to his disciple that he is coming back again. From the above three verses, we get an idea that Jesus' second coming will be a glorious one. It will be sudden. No one knows when he will come. And he will bring those who believe in him to himself. Can you see that God is the scriptwriter of history here? He has planned things since the beginning in the Old Testament to the New Testament and even now. Of course, along the way, many people have speculated the time of Jesus' return and claimed that they were prophets from God. But none of those speculations had been fulfilled. Therefore, friends, brothers and sisters, stay alert. If you hear this type of prophecy, do not believe it and be deceived. Jesus clearly told us that no one knows the time, not even Jesus himself, except God the Father. Now, if Jesus is coming back, what will he do when he comes back again? There are a few different views on what the event will unfold when Jesus returns. It is mainly because of the different interpretation of the Bible recorded in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 to 6. We are not going into that. If you are interested, you can sign up for next year's ABC class, Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church Bible class. We will have a class on Revelation, part 2, and Dr. James Lim, he will tell you more about that. Regardless of how the events will unfold when Jesus returns, one thing Christians can agree on is that Jesus Christ will have the final victory over Satan. He will reign as king forever and ever. We could see from the passage read by William, the scripture writer just now, earlier in Revelation chapter 11, verses 15 to 18, there's a scene of celebration when the angel blew the trumpet. Commentators see this passage as a hymn or summary of what happened when Jesus returns. First, we read that there was a grand proclamation of the new king who comes to reign. Verse 15, there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. It is the end of the kingdom of the world. The kingdom of the world refers to the fallen world affected by sin and the devil which we are in now. And the reign of the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ forever will be a time when the evil one and his army is defeated for final judgment. This kingdom that God reigns will be a new heaven and a new earth. God will dwell with his people. He will make everything new. There will be no more tears, no more death, no mourning or crying, and no more pain. We can find this promise in Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 to 4. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Jesus will make everything new. Can you imagine what a wonderful place it will be? And next, just like any movie, the villain will be dealt with at the end of the movie. Jesus will also put an end to Satan by throwing the devil and his army into the eternal fire. We can see it in Revelation chapter 11, verse 18b, and Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. But your wrath came, and for destroying the destroyers of the earth. This is Revelation chapter 11, verse 18. Chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. You know, the second coming of Jesus is like the inauguration of President Donald Trump of the United States, except we know exactly when the inauguration will take place. Though the president-elect Donald Trump had won the election on 5th of November, he will only rule the countries from 20th of January 2025, on the day of inauguration. In the same way, though Jesus had dealt with sin and defeated the evil one when he died on the cross, his second coming will be the time he punishes the devil and reigns forever, for eternity. So there is a sense of already and not yet. Many of the Americans are waiting with anticipation for their new president to rule and make changes for a better future. Are we too waiting with anticipation for Jesus to come again? As a king, Jesus has another role to do when he comes back. The Apostle Creed says he will come to judge the living and the dead. That means all humanity. We are told in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15, after Satan, the villain, has been dealt with, there was a great white throne judgment. Let's read this passage together. Then I saw a great white throne, and he who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they have done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Reading from this passage, we can try to imagine there were many people around this great white throne, and Jesus was sitting on it. All of them standing before the throne, and books were open. Then another book was open. It was the book of life. Verse 12 says, and the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And eventually, verse 15, it says, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. The names in the book of life refer to those who had believed in Jesus and worshiped him as God. Some Christians believe that the great white throne judgment is a judgment for those who did not believe in Jesus. And Christians and believers will be judged and give an account at the throne of on the judgment seat of Christ. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5:10. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." Here, Paul is telling the believers in the city of Corinth, they will be all judged before the judgment seat of Christ. Many of us will ask, will the believers lose their salvation when they appear at the judgment seat of Christ? According to the Bible, the answer is no. One of the passages we can look at is John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me will have eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." Those who know that they are sinners and believe in Jesus as the Lord who saved them will not come into judgment. Let me use a picture to explain. In this picture, you see the man wearing clothes like rags, which symbolizes our sinful nature. But when we believe in Jesus, he puts his righteousness on earth, just like what we see in this picture when we are clothed with Jesus' robe of righteousness. We will not be judged because God will accept us when he sees Jesus' righteousness on us. Therefore, we will not be thrown into the lake of fire. We have passed from the death to life. Then for believers, God also told us about reward. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15 reads, "For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire." In these verses, Paul told the believers that our lives are like constructing a building. Those who have believed in Jesus Christ already have the foundation which they can continue to build on. Unfortunately, each one uses different material to build in our construction process. Some use gold, silver, others use precious stone, wood, hay, and even straw. And when the judgment day comes, our building will be tested by fire. Then it will be disclosed what type of relationship we have had with Jesus. Verses 14 and 15 says, "If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss." Brothers and sisters, we are all in this construction project that Jesus has entrusted to us. What type of material are we using to build it? The material mentioned here could be our priorities, our resources, time, money, our giftings. Do we see this project as a good to have? Only when I don't feel so tired, then I'll come to the service. CG is really taking too much of my time. I will stop going for now. Or do we treat it as precious as our HDB or our landed property to build on it? No matter how tired I am, I will make it a point to come to worship God with the community. Rain or shine, I'm going to commit to my CG. God knows how we are building it. He will reward us in due time. My brothers and sisters, lest we think that we are safe and we will not be judged and thrown into the lake of fire, I do not want you to be unaware. The Bible also warns us of our deliberate sinning. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 to 29, it says, "For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment, a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the weakness, evidence of two or three weaknesses. How much more worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace?" From these verses, we knew that there were believers in the past who had already believed in Jesus but continue to live in sin. The verse said here, sinning deliberately, meaning the believer knew that he was sinning, yet he continues in it. And he went on to say that if we do that, we are trampling the Son of God and defying his blood. This warning is not an easy one to say. But as I reflected and prayed about it, I noticed God has been warning us. In the past few months, we had heard how David, a man after God's own heart, sinned, and how his sin had terrible consequences on his life as well as the life of many others. And now that we are talking about God's judgment, I think we need to examine our lives. Is there any hidden sin in our lives which we continue and secretly living in it? God is gracious. Repent and come back to him, lest he comes suddenly and we are not prepared. Regardless of how judgment will take place for unbelievers or believers, whether it is at the great white throne or at the judgment seat of Christ, we know that God is a just and living God. He will do what he deems right according to what we have done. In the beginning of the sermon, I talk about my experience as a foreigner in the US. It was a great place with so many different wonderful experiences, but it is not my home. Similarly, this earth is not our home. Let us examine our lives and ask ourselves, are we preparing and waiting for Jesus' return? Or are we living our lives as if that Jesus is not coming back? Now, I want to let us have some time to respond to God. There are two groups of people I want to address today. The first group is those of us who have yet to believe in Jesus. Here is an invitation to God from God to come into his kingdom. If God has spoken to you today and you acknowledge that you are like this man in the picture, in the red cloth. You want Jesus' robe of righteousness to clothe you. Please pray this prayer with me. I'll have this time to pray. If you are this first group, you can pray with me. The rest of us, you can help to pray for those who are new. Dear God, thank you for loving me. I know I am a sinner. And I want to live a life with Jesus in it. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me on the cross. Please clothe me with your righteousness so that I can come back to God and build my life with you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have prayed this prayer, please let the person who brings you to church know. If you come on your own, you may talk to any one of our pastors or any of us here. Let us rejoice with you and at the same time help you to know more of how to continue to grow. Now the second group is those of us who are already Christians and believers. Let's take a moment now. Quieten our heart and listen carefully to what God is speaking to you today and respond to Him accordingly. Remember, this is your response to God, not to me. Come, let us take this quiet moment. Dear God, we praise you for you are the God of love and justice. You are the King of our lives. Speak to us and help us to stay awake on how we should live our lives now to prepare for your return. Gracious God, grant us your strength and power to overcome the worldliness and our earthly desires that so often distract us from following you. Have mercy on us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Blessed day.
Indeed, what a glorious day when Jesus returned. Charles Wesley is the author of the hymn that we're going to sing shortly, dated back in the 18th century. All right, Wesley's style of composing is not short of being scriptural. The lyrics by Wesley is saturated with the Word of God, where he writes eloquently and enthusiastically, which we will attempt to sing shortly, all right? Two things, the triumph of God, the reign of Christ, where guilt and the grave are conquered. Jesus shall return as King, reigning at the right hand of God. Shall we stand as we try the song together? And for those who know this hymn, please sing along. Rejoice, the Lord is King, the Lord and King adore. Mortals, give thanks and sing and triumph evermore. Lift up
Come, your voice rejoice again and sing. Rejoice.
I think we get it, right? Let's think from the top again. Can we do it faster? Like, come.
Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. Mortals give thanks and sing and triumph evermore.
Lift up our hearts.
Lift up your heart. Lift up your voice. Rejoice again and sing. Rejoice.
Jesus.
Very good morning, one and all. Morning. Is there any one of you who joined us for the very first time? We want to welcome you, acknowledge you. Can you just put up your hands? Hi, welcome. Excited. Thank you. Please be seated. Anyone of us first time, you raise your hands? Oh, right over there. Welcome. All right. Welcome to Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church. Do join us for refreshment later. We have a couple to congratulate. We rejoice with Howdy and Yu Sing and their families. Howdy and Yu Sing were joined in holy matrimony here yesterday. So congratulations to them and their family.